question from Purushottam Prabhu. Why did Bhishma and Drona fight against the Pandavas? Normally, Karna's loyalty toward Duryodhana is condemned, whereas Bhishma and Drona's loyalty toward Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra is justified. When Draupadi was being shamed in the assembly hall, neither Bhishma nor Drona rose to protect her honor. Being the eldest member and guru of the Kuru dynasty respectively, was it not their responsibility to stop this inhuman act? Also, why did Bhishma and Drona not refuse to fight along with the army of Duryodhana? Is it not true that Duryodhana's confidence was based on the fact that he had the greatest warriors like Bhishma and Drona with whom who could never be defeated? We see that in Ramayana, in Visions, all attempt to bring Ravana on the right path fails. Then he leaves Ravana, leaves Lanka and takes sides of Lord Ram and joins Lord Ram's army. Why did Bhishma and Drona not do the same thing? Answer: Bhishma and Drona are not at the same level of spiritual advancement, and that's why it's not that for both of them there's been same reasons. But if you look at their overall life, they were devoted to virtue. They were righteous people whom circumstances forced more or less into making an unrighteous choice at that time. Whereas Karna, he had an innate inimical attitude towards the Pandavas, and he participated in many of the atrocious activities that Duryodhana performed, and he instigated some of them also. For example, he who suggested that this Draupadi be dragged into the assembly and disrobed. So in that sense, Karna is a character who has huge lumps of black within his overall grey character. Whereas the Bhishma and Drona, they are largely white with some stains of black within their character. So that's why the difference in the attitude towards their participation on the side of Duryodhana. Now, regarding specifically Bhishma and Drona in the Kuru assembly, we can look at this from a transcendental as well as a material perspective. From the transcendental perspective, the Lord wanted to demonstrate that ultimately He is the only protector. And that's why the Pandavas became helpless, and Bhishma and Drona, despite being virtuous and powerful, were reduced to helplessness. And at that level of transcendental perspective, we just understand that Krishna wanted to demonstrate through this pastime that nobody except He is the ultimate protector. And that's what happened to Draupadi. Now, from the circumstantial or the material perspective, Bhishma and Drona were caught in a technicality at that point. So the technicality was that when Draupadi was brought into the assembly, at that time Draupadi raised the question that can such a thing be, he said, that had Yudhishthir gambled himself before he gambled me? So the answer for that was yes, is from the way the events had happened. Then she raised the question, if Yudhishthir has lost himself already, then how can he gamble me? If he is not his own owner, how can he be the owner of anybody else? And how can he gamble me? So this was the question that she raised, and nobody answered. And finally, she repeatedly made out the question. And then Bhishma said that, actually the ways of dharma are very complex and I cannot answer the question. Because normally speaking, as you have rightly said, if a person loses himself, then he doesn't have any claim on any of anything else. So he can't gamble anything else. At the same time, the scriptures also say that the husband and wife are inextricably linked together. And the husband is the protector of the wife. And in a sense, the wife belongs to the husband. So in that sense, for the husband, so the wife is the, in that sense, always belonging to the husband. So even when a husband loses himself, still he has, still his wife is his. So therefore, I can't say what is right and what is wrong. So now if we look at the overall perspective here, Bhishma and Drona, by submitting to such a indecision over a technicality, lost the big picture. So this would be an example of a niyamagraha, insisting on the letter of the law without keeping in mind the purpose of the law. So the overall purpose of the law is to protect people, and women need to be protected. So whatever be the reason, such an activity should never have been tolerated. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavad Gita purports that Lord Krishna felt that because they remained silent over there, they were also culpable, and they deserved to be punished for that silence and culpability in that heinous act of trying to disrobe Draupadi. So it was in the spur of the moment a technicality which deluded them. But the difference again is that Duryodhana and Karna were delighting in what was happening, whereas Bhishma and Drona were lamenting profusely about what were happening. They were certainly not delighting in what was happening. So the attitude was entirely different. As far as the war was concerned, Bhishma had taken a vow that he would always act as the protector of the Kuru king when his father Shantanu wanted to marry Satyavati, the fisherwoman. At that time, her father had said that her son should become the next king. And Shantanu Maharaj had not ready to do that because he had already enthroned Devavrata, who later became Bhishma, as the king. But when Devavrata saw his father crestfallen, he found out the reason and he reassured the fisherwoman's father that yes, her son will become the next king. And then he said, okay, he may become the king, but what about your sons? They may become the kings in the future, they may not accept your point. He said, I will never have sons. He took a vow of celibacy, and that's how he got the name Bhishma. But then he, in order to reassure him further, he said that not only will I not marry and beget children, not only will I not stake claim on the throne, but rather I will protect whoever is on the throne always. So at that time it was inconceivable that a irreligious person like Duryodhana would become the king. So Bhishma had taken a vrata and he was bound by that vrata. And that's why he had to fight on the side of the Kauravas. Of course, Bhishma himself also says that I am bound by the wealth of the Kauravas. So again, this is a reason from the circumstantial or the material perspective. From the transcendental perspective, the Lord wanted to demonstrate that no matter how powerful a warrior may be, if he fights against the cause of the Lord, he will be destroyed. So Bhishma was the most powerful warrior at that time on the earth, and the Lord demonstrated through his example that even he had to perish because he went against the purpose of the Lord. And Bhishma accepted the thankless task of being a person to demonstrate this lesson to the whole world, even if it meant he being misunderstood in the process. Now, as far as Drona was concerned, Drona was officially a priest who had been employed by the ruling Kuru dynasty. And he had to obey and be loyal to the Kuru dynasty with which he had been employed. Now, he was very affectionate to the Pandavas. Arjuna was by far his most favorite student. But because he was employed over there, he felt obliged by that. And along with the obligation also, Like one's enemy becomes one's friend. By that token, Ashwatthama and Duryodhana had become very close friends. Ashwatthama had also been a very good warrior, and he wanted to win his father's favor. But Arjuna excelled him in archery, and he found that his father, Lord Arjuna, showered much more affection on Arjuna than on him. Because of this, Ashwatthama became envious of Arjuna. And when he became envious of Arjuna, at that time, when he found that Duryodhana was also envious of the Pandavas, including Arjuna, then they became close friends. And because of that close friendship, when the war broke out at that time, Ashwatthama decided to side with the Kauravas. And Ashwatthama sided with the Kauravas at the request of Duryodhana. Actually, Dronacharya also sided with the Kauravas because he was quite attached to his son. So both because of being under the employment of the Kuru dynasty, and because his dear son had chosen to fight on the side of the Kauravas, Drona also fought on the side of the Kauravas. So was it a noble or a laudable decision? No, it wasn't. But again, the principle is that all these people who were on a whole quite virtuous and exemplary, when at times they act also in wrong ways, that is quite different from people who act almost lifelong with malevolent intentions. So that's why we may have doubts about the decisions of Bhishma and Drona, but the Pandavas, Yudhishthira and others, never held it against them. They knew that we have to fight against them, but they did not consider it betrayal by Bhishma and Drona that they refused to fight. They refused to fight with the Kauravas. That they did not refuse to fight. Rather, they chose to fight with the Kauravas. This was not considered as a betrayal because Yudhishthira, who was Dharmaraj, he also recognized that the circumstances demanded that they fight on his side, and he accepted that well. Now, was their presence a cause of the swelling of the pride and the overconfidence of Duryodhana? Yes. But Duryodhana was hell-bent on fighting no matter what happened. And Bhishma and Drona never instigated him to fight. Whereas Karna was constantly instigating him to fight. And Karna was actually always overconfidently bragging that I can just start the battle, I'll finish the battle in a few days, even in a few hours. Whereas Bhishma and Drona were constantly warning Duryodhana that if you get into this war, there's no chance of victory for you. Nobody can fight against the Pandavas itself. But when the Pandavas are with Krishna, then it is impossible to ever defeat them. So in that sense, the overall picture of Bhishma and Drona, as is given in the Mahabharata, is much more positive. And circumstantially, sometimes good people may also become forced to participate on the wrong side. So this doesn't justify that what they did becomes right. See, there is sometimes the right thing to do, and sometimes the even intelligent people choose the wrong thing. So we learn from that. It is not that we take those decisions as models and act accordingly. Now regarding Vibhishana's fighting against the Rakshasas headed by Ravana, Vibhishana felt that he was a member of the ruling dynasty and he had to protect the entire Rakshasa kingdom from destruction just because of the sake of the obstinacy of Ravana and his lust for one woman. Therefore, he tried to persuade Ravana. When he couldn't persuade Ravana, he thought of his options. He thought, either I can organize an internal rebellion against Ravana, overthrow him, become the king and hand over Sita, or I can just renounce the world and go to the forests and become a mendicant, taking Vanaprastha, or I can go over to the side of Ram and tell him that your enmity is not with the Rakshasa race incomplete. It is only against one Rakshasa, Ravana, and his followers. so that Ram would not destroy the whole Rakshasa race. So then he felt that he did not have enough followers to organize the rebellions against Ravana, because Ravana had rewarded his followers profusely during his conquest of the universe, and they were faithful to him, attached to him, because he was providing them sense gratification. And he felt that because he was a member of the ruling dynasty, just renouncing the world and going to the forest would not be proper for him, it would be irresponsible. And going over to the opposite side would be the best way for him to act. So that's how he went there. So Bhishma and Drona, because they're circumstantially obliged, they could not do that. So Vidura, he also could have gone to the Pandava side, but he had hope that Dhritarashtra was corrigible. Corrigible means changeable. He was not irreversibly evil. So that's why he knew that Dhritarashtra's evil activities were basically instigated by Duryodhana, whom he couldn't stop because he was very attached to Duryodhana. So Dhritarashtra would not have been able to take any advice from somebody who had become the cause of the death of Duryodhana directly. So therefore, Vidura, if he had gone to the side of the Pandavas and fought against the Kauravas and had been involved directly as a party in the death of Duryodhana, then Dhritarashtra would not have been able to hear from him. So Vidura, when he went to the forest, instead of going to the Kauravas, the Pandava side, when he was rejected by the Kauravas, by that he associated with saintly people, enlightened himself more. And then when he came back, now Dhritarashtra, because his attachment had been cut off by the death of Duryodhana, was more open-minded. And because Vidura had not directly been involved in the death of Duryodhana, so he was more open to hear from Vidura. He did not consider Vidura to be his enemy. And that's how he could make that arrangement. So in general, when we are trying to evaluate the actions of other people, especially people who have been involved in Krishna Leela, even if those people are not acting as exalted devotees, still there is profound significance behind what they do and why they do that. And we need to carefully understand those actions and then learn how the principles that they demonstrated, whether they be right or wrong, how those apply in our lives. Thank you.